Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Who Inspire. I'm Cynthia Fuller. My guest today is Joyce Bassett. And Joyce writes for the Albany Times Union, and she writes about women in sports. So, Joyce, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing okay. So, tell us a little bit about your Women in Sports column.
Sure. I have been in journalism for about 40 years, and I decided to become a freelancer. And so as I was leaving the Times Union of full-time employment, I had been pitching an idea about doing a column on women and girls in sports. And it progressed naturally after I volunteered quite a bit during the Aurora Games. I was lucky enough to participate in some of their conversations with champions. I was able to interview Jackie Joyner Kersee and
Nadia
Comaneci, and and it really sparked an interest for me to continue to write about women and girls in sports, especially after I read a study that was from the Women's Sports Foundation. Billie Jean King, she is the head of that foundation, and through research they discovered that 4% of sports coverage is dedicated to women and girls. So I thought I could maybe help that out a little bit in the Capital Region and started the column on the 1st of January.
So what percentage of women is covered?
4% of the coverage is dedicated to women. Yeah.
Wow.
I know. And you know what? I didn't believe it at first, to be honest. I was like, there's no way that's true. But I've really been looking at coverage lately really hard, and I follow a lot of women who are journalists who promote women's sports, and it's definitely true. It's a sad number, but luckily there's a lot of people out there now you can find that do cover the women's team. So part of my column is pointing people in the right direction to find the coverage that they're looking for.
So what kind of sports do you cover?
So I don't cover anything in particular. I find stories that are of interest to all readers, but mainly it has to be either a woman or a young girl or a women's team. And so I've done just about everything. I do reviews of books that are either written by women journalists or women reporters or about women's teams. I also do profiles of women athletes.
So you talked about the Aurora Games. I had an interest in the Aurora Games to do something on my Focus on Albany podcast. What was your overall impression of the Aurora Games?
I know, it was the first year of existence, and the Times Union helped sponsor it, and I know that there were sponsorship problems, and that led to some marketing issues that came up, but overall, I thought it was a terrific concept, and a lot of the programs that they had featuring the women athletes and the kids, getting kids out, I thought they did a good job. They didn't do enough of a good job. I thought they could have gotten a lot more youth organizations involved, such as for the basketball. But they just kind of fell short in the marketing aspect of it, I felt, which led to the attendance being low.
I remember, like, towards the end of the games, it was announced that the Aurora Games would be here in like, next year, every 2 years. So have you heard anything about, because of the pandemic, have you heard anything about the Aurora Games having another go-around in Albany, New York?
No, I haven't heard anything specifically about that coming back. I know, you know, we were as a spinoff of that, we were supposed to land a Women's Tennis Association event that was being brought here from Canada, and that got canceled. So, you know, there were positive things that were going in the right direction, but coronavirus put a stop to a lot of things, obviously, and when it comes to sports, hosting sporting events.
So you have no idea as to whether once the pandemic is history that the Aurora Games will be back?
I don't know anything on that specifically yet.
Okay. So you have been covering women in sports then, am I correct in saying about a year?
It's a half a year. So I started in January.
Okay. And I'm sure that you've met a lot of terrific women. Have you, it's been inspiring to you, hasn't it?
Oh yeah, it's you know, it's always great. It gets you. Unfortunately, I haven't personally met a lot of the people I'm interviewing, but you know, for example, I interviewed on Skype today a 95-year-old woman from Albany who is in the Women's Track Hall of Fame. She was a sprinter up until her late 80s, early 90s, and
wow.
So I had a nice interview. Yeah, I had a nice interview with her. Her name is Pat Peterson, and I'll be featuring her in the column coming up this Monday.
That sounds exciting. So what other women have you interviewed that you find very inspiring?
Well, they all are. The most popular one I've done so far was on a woman from Canada. Her name is Lisa Longball, and
mm-hmm.
she is a golf celebrity, and her claim to fame is she can hit a ball the size of 3.5 football fields, so 350 yards. And so she'll go to various tournaments and events and do promotions. And she's a very accomplished speaker who talks about, you know, she started out as a teacher and then took up golf just for fun, and then realized she could hit the ball a mile and totally changed her career. And she speaks a lot about women empowerment and stepping out of the box and not being afraid to go after your goals. And she was a wonderful interview. I probably, I got the most readership from that one. She's really fun on social media too. She does these tricks on the back of a speedboat. She'll get off and she'll surf in the wake of the boat with no hands. And she'll have on like funny costumes, like a bathrobe or hockey gear, things like that. So she's making a splash, so to speak, with her social media video. So it's pretty neat.
So you write about all ages, right, and all sports, correct?
Yes, I think I was just thinking of the age range right now. It's probably gone from. I've interviewed kids as young as 10 and then up to 95.
Wow. So you've covered golf. Is golf a go-to sport for women?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I took up golf when my daughter went to college. She went away to college 10 years ago, and I took it up as a sport just to get out and do different things, because I had taken my daughter all over the Northeast to soccer tournaments, and so when she was off to college, I knew I had some time to fill, and I've always liked running, but I was starting to get tired of running and running in races. So I took up golf, and there's a wonderful golf community in the area that's been around for 91 years. It was formed even before the Ladies Professional Golf Tour started. So I hooked up with that, and I'm still loving it, still dedicated to it. And then a couple years ago, our golf writer Pete Doherty was kind enough to let me do his golf column every other week. So one week it would be more of his focus, which was often men and traditional golf, and then on the opposite weeks I would focus on women's golf, and it worked out very well. And I'm doing the same thing this year. It's not an every other week thing, but I'm filling in when he's on vacation. So that's another column that I do for the Times Union.
So is there a lot of women who have written books about sport?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. A lot of people do memoirs. Like I just promoted the Pat Summitt book. She's a basketball coach who died of early onset dementia after setting all these records in college at Tennessee. And so I did a review of her book. Kate Fagan is formerly of ESPN. She grew up in Niskayuna, and she's written a couple sports books. So I just promoted a book she wrote called What Made Maddie Run, and that's kind of a sad story about a runner who went to an Ivy League school and after midway through her freshman year took her own life. And it's the story behind social media and some of the things that that parents I read it in terms of, you know, something that parents should read and look out for, something like warning signs of depression, and how you can't look at a kid on social media and think everything is okay, because a lot of times they're suffering, and especially now during COVID, I think a lot of our students this year are going to have a tough time going back to college, and parents should just be aware, just keep an eye out, keep in touch, and keep up the conversation.
Now, you've been writing for the Times Union for a number of years. What else have you written about? What were your other topics?
Well, I actually was more behind the scenes. I did for a long time while my kids were growing up, I did a youth sports column. So I would do stories on kids and athletics, and I did a lot of issue-oriented stories about travel teams and the money that parents spend taking their kids to all kinds of sporting events, and the issues surrounding, you know, helicopter parenting and all that stuff. I did a column called Take the Kids before that, which was finding, like, unique places to take your children to hike and to, you know, all different types of activities. I did that for a couple years. But mostly I was behind the scenes. I did a lot of editing and web production and graphic design.
It seems like your concentration has always been about sports. Am I right?
I did the youth sport. Yeah, I would say I started one of the first sports blogs at the Times Union, and now I'm doing this. So, being an editor, it was just a good way to stay in touch with writing and write about things that I felt parents were interested in. Being a young parent, I always found a story wherever I went. So the Times Union and other newspapers are good at, giving people the opportunity to write about things that they are passionate about.
Is there a lot of sports writers who just write about women in sports across the country?
There's a lot on the internet. I think a lot of the sports writers that work for newspapers do a variety of things. There's some women, like women who work for specialty publications who write about specific sports, like Beth Ann Nichols covers golf for Golf Week and USA Today. But most of the women, there's not a lot of women journalists, but the ones I know cover both men's and women's sports. And then some do specialize.
Okay. When you say specialize, what do you mean?
Well, there's an online publication called The Athletic, and so a lot of their writers, they'll have women who cover, say, the National Women's Soccer League, and soccer is a big sport in terms of coverage. There's women who, like I said, cover golf specifically, so that's specializing. Mm-hmm. But there's women who cover the NBA and the WNBA and college basketball as well. So they specialize in basketball, but not gender specific.
You know, there's so many women, not only in this country, but around the world, who take up running as a sport. Have you spoken to any runners?
The woman that I just interviewed was a runner and she's a master's runner, Pat Peterson from Albany. I haven't done any, I was going to dive into Fryhoffers this year a little bit and do some profiles,
right,
but obviously that got canceled. I was a runner myself and, did a lot of 5Ks and 10Ks. But I haven't written much about running, mostly just participated in it.
Did you ever do the Fryhoffers run?
Yes, I did it for several years until my kids got to be about 8 or 9. And then on those Saturdays, I was always with their teams traveling. Usually travel soccer was taking me someplace.
Oh, okay. That's quite an event because there's thousands of women that participate. And, you know, I live right by the starting point of the Fryhoffers run. And it's really exciting to see so many women who work so hard to accomplish even just the 5K. Would you agree?
Oh, yes, it was a wonderful experience every time I did it. I would still be doing it if it wasn't for the pounding on the knees coming down coming down to the finish line. That's a tough stretch there, finishing up.
Right, coming down Madison Avenue. That is quite challenging. So,
yeah.
Since you've been doing writing for the women in sports for the Times Union, what would you say was, so far, what you've done has been the most inspirational story?
Well, you know, it's funny. I think there's a couple. I did the most recent one I did on Kate Fagan's book about a runner committing suicide. That one resonated with a lot of people because I used a personal story to go along with it and opened up about suicide in my family. And a lot of the personal notes I received from writers that I really look up to that are, I consider to be much better writers than I am were very appreciative that I put myself out there and of the content of the column. And basically they said that you might never know how many people this column helped. So that I feel good about. And then I would say, you know, I've done a few obituaries this year of women that were pioneers, and a couple of golf women who I knew through the golf organizations that I belong to, who paved the way for a lot of us. And those resonated with a lot of people. And I did a story on a referee who died of COVID that also resonated with a lot of people. He was very fit. He had no underlying conditions, just was unfortunate to get it at the beginning of the pandemic. And they probably at that point didn't know how to treat it. And unfortunately, he passed away.
Do you think that the coronavirus has changed sports a lot?
I've been watching a lot of the WNBA. That's what my column is about today. I think the social unrest and the women for the WNBA that are united and standing up to for a united cause, I think that's going to be something new. I think a lot of the sports teams that have started playing also are speaking out. I think the social unrest that has even more of an impact. As far as COVID changing sports, that remains to be seen. I think sports is resilient. I think it'll come back just like everything. And I think that sports is just such a healthy, good outlet for a lot of young people that it has to come back.
You know, there's so many sports figures that people look up to, men. They look up to basketball players and baseball players. Do you find the same with women? Are there a lot of women who aspire to be like a professional woman athlete?
Well, I think that's the goal of the Women's Sports Foundation, and part of the goal of my column is that if you see it, you can be it. That's the theme of a lot of these, the Women's Professional Hockey Association that's trying to get a stronger league, and you hear that all over the, it not only has to do with just women, but it has to do with minorities that, are often, the face of women's sports. People want to look up to someone who looks like them. And, luckily we have our Billie Jean Kings and our Martina Navratilovas and all kinds of sports stars in locally, we have Dottie Pepper. We have amazing women who women can look up to, but a lot of times they haven't really heard their stories. The U.S. women's soccer team, the U.S. women's hockey team, the U.S. women's basketball team, they all have wonderful athletes that kids can look up to, but it's a matter of parents teaching them about it. And, you know, I don't know that they're going to get the focus that a lot of the men get, because, I mean, if you look at a printed newspaper or a sports publication, everything is about the men. So it's up to parents to, you know, show in schools to show that there's a lot of women athletes out there that kids can aspire to be like.
So would you say that is the responsibility of the media to highlight a lot of the women and girls who are in sports now?
Oh, absolutely. You know, all the traditional newsrooms are, the sports sections are all pretty much filled with men. But the reporting is out there. What I have found is that if you want to find the digital sources of information or books, it's out there. And that's part of what I do for my column is I point out, look, try to follow this person on social media for this kind of information, or look at this website. Read this sports columnist. I think it's out there more and more. It's just a matter of doing the due diligence and seeking it out. It's you know, the television media, it's so diverse right now. I mean, you can find women's games. They stream them all the time. They're out there. You know, again, I think it's, I wouldn't say. This weekend, I was watching mostly women's golf, even though it was the men's PGA Championship, because they had golf on TV. So it's out there. We just gotta direct our children to see it.
So we just have about a minute left, Joyce. So give a plug for your column.
Oh, okay. So if you search my name on the Times Union website, it's Joyce, J-O-Y-C-E, and then Bassett, B-A-S-S-E-T-T, and Times Union. You'll get a list of my columns. My author page will come up, and it'll list all my columns. And then I have a blog that's called All In that I put synopsis, just short introductions to each column, and then it gives the link to the column itself. It's published on Sundays and on the web, and then Monday in print.
Thank you, Joyce. I hope to talk with you again. You've been listening to Joyce Bassett, who writes for the Albany Times Union. I'm Cynthia Pooler. This is Women Who Inspire. If you like this show, like us on Facebook. Joyce, it's been a pleasure talking with you. Thank you, everybody, for
listening. Thank you, Cynthia. Thank you, Cynthia. Bye-bye.